Glad to see everyone here back with us this evening. If you will, be turning in your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want you to read with me verses 6 and 7. We're going to meet a young man here that is going to be completely dependent upon others because of his condition. And as we think about that, I want us to think of ourselves, and we'll notice a little more here in just a moment. But 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." As I said, here is Mephibosheth. Here was the son of Jonathan, the same Jonathan to whom David had loved in the last known seed of Saul. Now, Mephibosheth is. David had sworn to Jonathan that he would not cut off his kindness from his house forever. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 21. Here is Mephibosheth now. He's being promised by David, the king, that he would fare sumptuously at the king's table. Later on in the chapter, we see that he is going to be treated as even one of the king's own sons. But when we look at Mephibosheth and his life before, there were times in Mephibosheth's life that were filled with tragedy. In 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 6, we see that he lost both his father and his grandfather in battle to the Philistines. He lost the men in his life that were supposed to have a great influence upon him. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4 that he was 5 years old when that happened. In 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, we see how Mephibosheth became as he was. If you'll read with me there, notice what happened when word came to the people concerning the death of Jonathan and Saul. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. From the time he was five, that as he fell, and whatever may have happened to his legs, whether they were broken and they never healed properly, whatever the case was, he was lame in both his feet. He couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't get around. He had to be carried, or if they had some type of other transport, whatever the case may have been, he had to rely upon others to get from place to place. Couldn't do it by himself. Friends, Mephibosheth is a picture of ourselves as we were lost in sin at that point. So the title of tonight's sermon is, "I Am Mephibosheth." And let's see ourselves as we study together this evening. Let's see ourselves as Mephibosheth was at one point in time, and then we'll notice how we are to be as Mephibosheth even now. But number one, I am Mephibosheth, and that I am, or was, hopeless. Friends, think about this. What if David had never made that promise that he made to Jonathan? What if he had never said those words to Jonathan that he said in 1 Samuel 24? What if he had never sworn that no hurt would come unto Jonathan's house, that he would not cut off his kindness from that house? Mephibosheth probably would have led a very poor life. But here we find David restoring all the land of Saul, his father, to him. He's not going to want for anything. But then he goes further and says that you'll eat at my table. The king had made a promise, but Mephibosheth, before this point, was hopeless. Friends, we need, as human beings, we need to be mindful of how hopeless that we are without God. I am Mephibosheth, and that I am hopeless without God Almighty. Leave a marker there in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6. Notice with me verses 66 through 68. 66 through 68. From that time, the scripture says, many of his disciples, his followers, went back and walked with him no more, walked no more with him. 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Notice what Simon Peter says here. Again, the first to speak up, Simon says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, we noticed concerning Peter this morning in Matthew chapter 16 that he recognized that Jesus was God. He recognized it even here. To whom shall we go? Where are we going to turn, Lord? I imagine Peter could turn around and he could see just person after person after person, hundreds of people probably leaving the side of Jesus. But where did he keep his focus? Right upon Christ. And when Jesus asked this question, will you also go away? Peter's simple answer was, where are we going to go? You are the one that provides us with the words of eternal life. Friends, what if God, we ask the question, what if David had never made this promise? Friends, what if God had never seen fit to deliver unto us His Word? We'd be without hope, wouldn't we? And so as Mephibosheth would have been without the promise of David, friends, so are we without God in our lives. I am Mephibosheth, and that I am helpless without God. I'm hopeless without God, rather. Number two, as we look at Mephibosheth, I am Mephibosheth, and that I am helpless without God. I am hopeless without God. Notice Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. Paul writes here, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, now at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God, we are hopeless. We are helpless. Again, going to John 6, 66 through 68, what was Peter's statement saying? We're helpless without you, Lord. We can't do for ourselves. We need to be mindful, friends, of how helpless we are without God. We look at the world today and many are boasting, you know, look what I have done. Look at these great works that I have done. They've got the Nebuchadnezzar syndrome. Looking out upon this great Babylon on which I have built. Daniel reminded him real quick that he could not have done so without God. That it was God who had set him up in that position. Friends, we have many great blessings, but how helpless would we really be without God? How helpless would we be? How helpless would you and I be without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Without His words of eternal life? nothing that you or I could ever do to earn our salvation. Friends, we must remember how helpless we are without God. Then number three, I am Mephibosheth, and that I am hapless without God. I am hapless without God. Friends, I want you to notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice with me verses 9 through 11. First Corinthians 6, beginning of verse 9, we read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Friends, we need to be mindful of how unfortunate and doomed we are without God. You look at this list of sins that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. He simply says, to begin with, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And then he gives this long list of sins, specific sins concerning these things. And he says in verse 11, "And such were," past tense, "they were these things no longer. Such were some of you." But friends, notice that if they had not repented, what was their fate? They would not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, we are hapless without God's mercy. We are hapless without God's grace. What if God had not seen fit to send His only begotten Son to the cross for the remission of my sins? We would be hopeless, we would be helpless, and indeed we would be hapless. No hope, no help. And friends, what future would we have? None. Look back at 2 Samuel chapter 9. I really want you to think upon the condition of Mephibosheth here as he comes to David. Where was he placing all his hope, all his faith? In David. He needed his help. Couldn't fend for himself. He was throwing himself upon the mercy of the king. Again, he says in verse 6, "Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence." He showed him respect. Showed him the respect that the king deserved. And David simply said his name. Can you imagine the emotions running through David at this point? Here was the son of his best friend. Here was the son of a friend that had put his life, his own life in danger to protect David. And he welcomed Mephibosheth as his own son. Welcomed him with open arms. All Mephibosheth said concerning that was, "Behold thy servant." What was Mephibosheth going to be able to do? Both his feet were crippled. He couldn't wait on David. Couldn't do anything for him. Are we getting the picture? What can you and I really do for God? Does God need us? He doesn't need us. Does He want us? Absolutely. Did David want Mephibosheth? He wanted him there. Felt about him as he did one of his own sons. David said to him, verse 7, "Fear not. Fear not. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." Now notice this last part. "And thou shalt eat bread at my table, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, not just next week, next month, next year." He said, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." My friends, here's our final point. I am Mephibosheth in that I too eat bread at the king's table. I eat at the king's table. As Christians, we ought to be mindful that when we gather together on a day of worship, we are gathered around the king's table. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How blessed are we to be like Mephibosheth? How blessed are we to have hope in God, to have help from God, and to know that God has shown His mercy upon us in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, our King. Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our song books, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, how blessed are we to be like Mephibosheth, faring sumptuously at the king's table. But friends, do not be deceived. Let us not be deceived by Satan and forget that outside of Christ, we were like Mephibosheth in being hopeless, being helpless, and being hapless. And friends, if you are not in Christ, you are still in that tragic phase of Mephibosheth's life. You're helpless, hopeless, and hapless. Why not be like the Mephibosheth of 2 Samuel chapter 9 and come to the king? Throw yourself upon his mercy and dine at his table. Christ is even now inviting you to fare sumptuously with him. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, here are the words of Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." In what phase of Mephibosheth's life do you find yourself tonight? Are you as Mephibosheth in that you're hopeless, helpless, and hapless? If you find yourself in that case, friends, in that instance, friends, we hope and pray that you'll follow the words of our King, Jesus Christ. We hope and pray, friends, that you believe upon Him, that you will repent of sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you do those things this evening? Well, friend, are you here tonight having done those things? Do you once again find yourself in a hopeless situation without the help of God? Would you come home? Would you come back to the King's table? Friend, if you have a need, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?